Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And Father, I pray that each and everyone in this room understands that we can be rescued from whatever situation, from whatever circumstance we may be facing this morning. Lord, I pray that we would be so hungry to hear Your Word this morning, that all distraction would be blocked out and that we would hear from You, that Your Holy Spirit might have free reign in here. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The main part of the text this morning is going to be in Daniel chapter 6, but I've got a lot before we get there. But if you want to open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, we'll be there in a few minutes. Where I've really been thinking about is just faithfulness and a life of faithfulness. We've talked about that a lot in Sunday school, Wednesday nights, for some time, and just being faithful and continue to be faithful. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes when you don't see fruit of what's taking place, sometimes and just the cares and worries of the life of your life, it can be tough. But 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that they will not be dependent on anybody, so that you will not be dependent upon anybody." When I read that and I think, so that my daily life might win the respect of outsiders, and when I think about that, my daily life, are people seeing something in my life? I also think about that as sometimes we want something great and incredible, and we're always seeking the mountaintops. And for many of us, it's just living a daily faithful life and allowing God to work is where our heart really needs to be, where we really need to find our purpose and meaning, not in those big events, not in those extraordinary miracles, so to speak, but it's in the daily life of people seeing Jesus in our life. 1 Peter 2:11-12 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." Live such good lives. 1 Thessalonians, mind your own business and win people by the good life that you live. And it's a daily life. It's a daily walk of people seeing the real Jesus in you, seeing the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. We want people to look at our lives and to say, "I want what they have." That there's something different about that person. I was at Gino's Pizza a few weeks ago, and I saw Bob Izell's son-in-law and daughter, I think is who it is, and they didn't see me. They were on the other side of the restaurant. I saw them come in and order, and I was just kind of over in the corner waiting on my pizza to go, and they didn't see me, and I didn't holler at them. They had their foster kids with them. They were pretty distracted. And then a few minutes later, their son, he came in, and I heard him say, "I want to get theirs too." And he was talking about his mom and dad pay for their dinner. And the lady's like, "Oh, they already paid for theirs." And he looked back at him kind of like, "You know, I was going to buy y'all's." And he didn't know me, like I said. I don't think he knows me. You know, sometimes people know you and they don't know that they know you, but I don't think he knew me. But I was sitting there and I had a whole bunch of pizzas in my hand, and he said, are you about to go out the door?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Let me get that for you." And he walked over and opened the door for me. And I just thought, how nice. You know, he's there ordering his food. He wasn't heading out. You know, it's different if someone's like walking in front of you and holds the door for you. But he stopped and went over and opened the door for me. And it just so impressed me, him wanting to pay for his mom and dad's meal and wanting to hold the door open for me And those are just characteristics you don't find very often in people anymore. And it just impressed me. And so you think, Pete, that's kind of silly that that impressed you. It impressed me. He wasn't going out of his way to preach a sermon or to do, you know, it was just his life. It was just, you could just tell it was just his daily life of doing that. In church, I want people to see my life and say, I want what that guy has. There's just something different about him. His kindness, his gentleness, there's just something different about him. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So I'm wondering, in my life, do people want what I have? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. The only way people want what I have is if they see Jesus in my life, if they see what I have, if they know that there's something different about me. And how will they know there's something different about me? And it's by the life that I live each and every day. Colossians 3:22 through 24 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with their eyes on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Okay? When I read this and I think, slaves, obey your earthly masters, what I'm thinking is, employees, listen to your boss. Okay, right now in our society, we don't have slaves and masters, but we have bosses and employees. Are we obeying our bosses? And not just when their eyes are on us, but we do it with sincerity and heart, even when nobody's looking? I don't think I told y'all this story. I don't think. And if I did, I'm sorry. It's a new story. But last week, I was delivering to Tyson Foods, and one of the bags that I was delivering had a rip about like this in it. Did I already tell y'all this story? I know I told my wife this story. And it was leaking out. And I was so frustrated because this particular Tyson that I deliver to, they're so laid back and easygoing, nice people, and they don't complain about much. And I thought, you know, all somebody had to do was stick a piece of tape on that bag, and it would have saved me 15 minutes of work, because if there's damage, you gotta call it in, and it's just a pain. And like I said, it didn't even matter. It wasn't like it was a food. It was to their mill that, for y'all don't want to know, it's where they send all the stuff that's discarded. So it didn't really matter. But anyway, I'm just really frustrated thinking, and I know who loaded it, and I know he's one of my best friends, but I know he's lazy. And I got out my phone and I started texting. How lazy can you be that you can't put one piece of tape on this bag? And I'm about to send, and the Lord said, Pete, is that really going to do any good? Now think about it. No, Lord, it's not going to do any good. Delete. And I didn't send it. I didn't even say nothing. Just whatever. That was like last Thursday or Friday. And then Monday or Tuesday, I'm loading up a trailer. And there's another Tyson Waldron. Got a little bitty rip in the bag. But it's not leaking out or anything, but it's just sitting there. It's not leaking. I got up under it, went to load it, and the Lord like slapped me. Is that not being a hypocrite? Did you gripe and complain because somebody didn't tape up your bag you're delivering? You know you're not delivering this, so now you're not going to put a piece of tape on it? What a hypocrite. Lord, you're right. Stopped, backed up, got out, put the little piece of tape on it. Well, what's funny is later on I found out my friend that didn't tape my bag was actually taking that trailer, and I thought, oh, if I'd have known that, I definitely wouldn't have taped it up. Got him back good. But y'all, how hypocritical that would be. The Lord had to catch me. My boss, his eyes didn't need to be on me for me to know the right thing to do was to fix that. You know, that's the right thing to do. And, you know, if my boss would have been standing there, and especially our terminal manager, if he'd have been standing there, there's no doubt. There wouldn't have been any hesitation. I'd have taped it right away. Oh, I'm such a good employee. Look at me. I'm taping it up. But when nobody's watching, I need to be just as good of an employee. Y'all, when we don't realize people are watching our lives, but most importantly, the Lord is watching. And so when we work, when we serve, we should do it with sincerity of the heart. Verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So there it is, that we are serving God. That's ultimately who we should be, who our audience is. It's not even our boss, it's not our co-workers, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's looking down and He's saying, are you honest? Are you a person of integrity? Does it matter if someone's there or if someone's not, to see what you're doing? And y'all, our daily life should be that it shouldn't matter whose eyes are on us, that we know that the Lord is watching. And I think a perfect example of this would be Daniel. And so hopefully you've had time to get to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is a great example of this, of the daily life and the faithfulness to the Lord. Daniel 6:1, it says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. I want y'all to think about what all is said there, that they could find nothing, no corruption in him. He was such a man of integrity. And in your life, if I came to your workplace, if I came to your home and I did an investigation, could I find a man, a woman of integrity, of honesty, of truth, that I could find no corruption in you? And to me, and you look at this, they couldn't find it in the conduct of government affairs. Boy, think about now in our politics and our government, all the corruption, all the illegalness that's going on. And I would venture to say that most every politician, and I might be wrong in this, but if you really got to research, and there's probably a little bit of corruption, there's probably a little bit of dirtiness, and how wonderful would it be to see a man or a woman of integrity that you knew that you could trust, that you knew that they, their word mattered for what they said and what they did. Here was a man of integrity, of such integrity that they said, we can't find anything wrong with him. And now the others, what was the matter? They were so jealous. They were so jealous. And, you know, he was about to be appointed over the whole kingdom. And you know what happens oftentimes if someone gets a promotion, someone gets a raise, someone gets a pat on the back? I told y'all this was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I won an award at work, and the boss, he was about to present it to me, and I said, please don't do this. He said, what? I said, don't do it in front of everybody. And he's like, why? I'm like, I just don't want to hear it. And so he ended up just giving me my little award in the office, and I didn't do it. I didn't do it to get an award, what I'd done to receive this award, but he turned me in for going over and above or something. I was just doing it. And so I didn't say nothing. And I've told you all this story before. And about 4 or 5 months later, FedEx News magazine comes out. And lo and behold, there's Pete Rose received the Purple Promise Award and went over and above in excellency. And then everybody's like, huh, oh, you was keeping this all hidden. And then, oh, they started poking fun and teasing and calling me. You can imagine what they called me, you know. And why? Because jealousy. Because jealousy. And these men were so jealous. Because Daniel had so distinguished himself from the others. Matthew 10:22 says, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Can I tell you something? In your stand for excellence, in your stand for integrity, people's going to hate you. People's not going to like you. They're not going to like what you stand for and who you are. So we can establish that right now. Verse 6 says, so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, and advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. What were they doing? They were flattering him. O king, you're so wonderful. And you know what? You're the only one that should be prayed to. You're the only one that should be worshipped. We love you so much, King, and you're worthy of all this honor. And as I'm thinking about this, and I thought of Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Just like the verse, wounds from a friend can be trusted. You know, sometimes somebody that's always full of flattery, always full of, oh, how wonderful you are, and telling you how great you are, you better be watching out, because there might be an ulterior motive to that. There might be a knife ready to be stuck in your back. And here, there was an ulterior motive. And most of the times, if someone's so full of flattery, there's something they're trying to get out of you. And they were trying to work the system, so to speak. Jump down to verse 10, and it says, now when Daniel learned that the decrees had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? Okay, so how does this relate? What I'm seeing is just like he had done before. He went up and prayed. They knew what kind of man he was. They knew that he went and prayed daily, three times a day. They seen it in his life. And I wonder for us, how many of us are so faithful to serving our Lord and Savior that people see it in our life so much that they know that we are servants of the Most High God. He went and prayed as he always did, three times a day. His firmness, his steadfastness. The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decrees you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the orders, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. There it is again, the God who you serve continually. Our daily life, do people see us serving the Lord in our daily life continually? Verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Church, how many of us in our lives are so faithful that people can see Jesus and they would know how to set us up? They would know a trap having to do with our walk with God. And some of y'all might be saying, Pete, this is a terrible example. This is a terrible example. Here's this man, he's been serving the Lord, and he ends up in the lion's den. Why are you talking about? Live a quiet, peaceable life. Get along with everybody. And here he's thrown into a lion's den, and you're saying that this is a good example? 1 Peter 3:13 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone or to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I read that verse earlier, but I want you to think about it. Says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But we also learn that the world's going to hate us because they hated Jesus first. They're going to hate us. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. God is still there. God is still ready to bless us. You jump over to 4:12, and he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. So here I am saying, live an example, live a quiet, peaceable life, try and set an example and show Jesus to everyone. But that doesn't mean life's always going to be perfect. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to face trials. And here in 1 Peter 4:12, he says, don't be surprised when you face trials and suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But 13 says, but rejoice that you participated in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So you know what? When people are persecuting you, when people make fun of you, when people laugh, you know, it's sad, this world that we're living in. And one of my coworkers has been sick and has had some problems, and he's only drove 2 days in the last like 8 or 9 weeks, and he's having all these problems, and he's a believer, but he's one of them believers that walk the line, I think, of how much can you get away with, you know. But he's been scared because of these medical problems that he's having, and he texted us all, please pray for me. But you know what's amazing to me is then at work, one day last week, we were all sitting around waiting on late trailers to get there, and we was all kind of just talking and visiting and stuff. And all at once, one of the guys is looking at something on his phone and just starts dying laughing. And then he takes it over to another one of my good buddies, and then they're both laughing. And then they take it over to the other guy that's been sick and hurting, and then they start laughing. And all the while, I'm sitting here, and it's like a wall's put up. So I know what they're looking at. They know I don't want to see it. But here's this man sick and worried about his health, but they understand it's okay to still show him, even though he's asking for prayers. Is this making sense at all, that they know it's okay? He'll look at the dirty jokes. He'll look at the filth. And he'll laugh and go along with them. But Preacher Pete, yeah, we like you. We're good. But don't show him. They didn't come show Travis. Thank God that they didn't come show me. Thank God that they see a difference in me, that they know I don't want to see it. Now, do I feel isolated sometimes? Does it hurt my feelings sometimes? Yeah. But you know what? That's not necessarily being persecuted, but in a way it is, like, leave Pete out of this. And if we're insulted because of the name of Jesus, we're blessed. We're blessed. We shouldn't think it's strange. Verse 15 says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear His name. See, if we're suffering because we broke the law, if we're suffering because we've done something illegal, because we've done something wrong, then we deserve. But when we suffer for standing for righteousness, for walking daily with our Lord Jesus Christ, just as Daniel did, then we are blessed. And we should recognize that we are blessed. 2 Peter 2:4, and I'm getting ready to go back to Daniel if you don't want to flip there, but 2 Peter 2:4 says, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if He did not spare the ancient world when He brought the floods on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others, if He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ash and made them as an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if He rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man lived among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. We talked about Lot last week. What's he saying here? God's judgment came, but He saved Noah, right? He saved Lot. God is able to save you. When you're going through those circumstances, when you're going through the suffering, verse 9 says, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. God knows how to rescue. God knows how to protect us. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6, verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? There it is again. Serving continually. Serving continually. Y'all, at work, if you're the only Christian, you continue to serve. In your family, if you're the only Christian, you continue to serve. You don't change. The circumstances around you may change, but we are to remain faithful and serving. Faithful and serving. Verse 21, Daniel answered, O King, live forever. My God sent His angels, and He shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in His sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O King. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wounds was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Y'all, this morning you may be going through trials. You may be going through circumstances. You may have given in maybe in some of these environments, and maybe you participated with what all was going on around you. But y'all, let me tell you that God can rescue you out of those circumstances. And when you're facing those trials, when you're facing those things, it's a moment and it's a time for Jesus Christ to shine in your life. When you're faced with that temptation, when everybody else is laughing, when everybody else is participating, when everybody else doesn't do the job right and tape up the torn bag, You can be the difference. And even if you're persecuted, even if everybody's mocking you, if everybody's making fun of you, God can deliver you. It's with your continual faithfulness. Verse 24, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and revere the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Let me ask you this morning, have you been walking faithfully with the Lord? If you haven't, today's the day that you can begin. Today's the day that your life can change. And not looking for the lion's den, the miracle, but just be faithful day after day, living your life so that people see Jesus in you, so that they ask, what is this hope that you have? How can you have that joy? How can you have that peace when the economy's crumbling, when you have a sick child, when there's a death, whatever it is, how can you be the way that you are? And because you have Jesus, because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Let's stand. Father, I pray this morning that you'd forgive us for the times that we have not been faithful, for the times that we've not continually sought you. Father, that you would forgive each and every one of us of that this morning, and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we confess our sins this morning to you. And Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would become a faithful, steadfast body of believers here. Lord, that even when the trials come and even when people hurt us, Lord, even when it seems like the ship is sinking, so to speak, Father, that we would know that you are there with us each and every day. Lord, that we wouldn't let circumstances, we wouldn't let the people around us, Lord, influence us, that we might waver from what we know is truth. And the truth that you will never leave us, and that you will never forsake us, and that you know how to deliver your righteous people out of the hands of the enemy. Father, may we get that in our heart this morning, and may we remain faithful. Lord, showing your love and your light to all those around us each and every day. May they see you in us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you've been struggling with anything this week, maybe you feel like you're in the lion's den and it's just been problem after problem, struggle after struggle. Whatever you're facing, now is the time to cry out to Jesus, and He'll be there to help you and guide you and see you through. And maybe you've just been struggling at work. Maybe you've not been a light. Maybe at home, maybe with family, that you really haven't shown Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe today's the day that you can just invite Jesus in and say, Lord, I want everything that you have for me, and in my day-to-day life, may I be an example and not be a hypocrite. However the Lord leads, if you need prayer this morning for anything, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. The altars are open.
I just want to sit here at your feet.
Most of y'all know me pretty well. And I'm not going to sit up here and paint a picture like I always do everything right. I've had to apologize more than once for wrongs that I've done in public, at work. But you know, there's been a few different times. My main boss one time came to me. This was a few years back. And he called me aside. He said, "Can I talk to you about something?" He's got four kids, and they were pretty little at that time. And he said, "My wife's been having terrible headaches, and they found lesions on her brain." And he said, I can't raise those kids by myself." And he said, "Will you pray for her?" He said, I just know that God can do something, and I like to come and talk to people that I know maybe have a straight line." I said, "Of course I'll pray for her." And then a few months ago, another supervisor said, "I need to see you after work." And I thought, oh no. You know, I'm thinking, what have I done wrong? He said, "My wife's grandfather has been diagnosed with terminal cancer." He said, "Would you care to pray for him?" You know, it's funny how I get left out of the dirty jokes and the funny things, but when someone's hurting, they can come and talk to me. And like I said, I'm not trying to be a martyr up here like I'm always the best example. But I thank God that they can see enough of Jesus in me that they can come and trust me enough to say, "Will you pray for this family member or that family member?" So do people see Jesus in you? Each and every day of your life, do people see Jesus in you? I hope so. And if they don't, maybe shut off the television and open up your Bible. Maybe, you know, at lunch, read your devotional instead of catching up on the latest gossip at the water cooler. You know, let's be a light, so that people see Jesus in us each and every day. Bible study tonight, 6:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.